It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team I work with. That's producer Luke, producer Joe, Zach, Keith, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday, producer Joe.
Happy Tuesday, Kim.
And we are off to the races. Another great show planned for you today. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And force can come in a lot of different ways. It can come as a weapon. It can come, you know what, I don't have my whole list right here. I've got too many papers going on here, Joe. I like to make sure that I hit everything, so hang on here. Okay. Here we go. It's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, their rights, their property, their freedom, their livelihood, their opportunities, or their lives. And force can be a weapon. Policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, or the World Economic Forum, Davos globalist elites. Man, I'm having a tough time saying that today. I guess I got myself all whipped up on all this. So anyway, let's continue on here. Thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their sponsorship of this show. And we're going to be talking with Maurice Emmer in the second segment here in the first hour regarding the opting out of the open primaries, which that vote is going to be this weekend at the Central Committee of the GOP. And he's going to explain the constitutionality or unconstitutionality of this open primary here in Colorado. So we'll talk with him about that. And then we're going to be talking with Leslie Manoukian in the second hour regarding Health Freedom Defense Fund. We'll talk with Wade Miller here in the first hour with the Center for Renewing America about what is happening in Congress. So a big show planned for you today. Let's get here to our word of the day. And the word of the day is plethora. And it is a superabundance or excess is the first a definition. The second is an excess of blood in the circulatory system or in one organ or area. So I'll go with the first definition. It said, in a society based on liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom and the sanctity of the individual, there are a plethora of opportunities for individuals to succeed. And that is why that people are trying to get into America. You don't see anybody trying to cross rivers to get into China or North Korea, or boats going to people wanting to go to Cuba. And it's because of freedom. It's because of this vision of the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And I would recommend I didn't do my homework last week. I was supposed to read the Constitution. I'm going to get that done this week because of Constitution Week. Need to make sure that I do that. But it is because the vision of the Declaration of Independence and then the Constitution that puts in place protecting individual rights, the sanctity of the individual, and the Constitution is there to do that. Our quote of the day is from Ronald Reagan. He was an American politician and actor. He was the 40th president of the United States from 1981 to 89. He had originally been a member of the Democrat Party, but he became a Republican. And he is known as one of the most prominent conservative figures in the United States. And he said this: almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our constitution is a document in which we, the people, tell the government what it is allowed to do. We, the people, are free. And again, that is Ronald Reagan. This day in history, I find this so interesting as we go through this. First of all, in 46 BC, Julius Caesar dedicates a temple to his mythical ancestor, Venus Genetrix, in accordance with a vow he made at the Battle of Pharsalus. 1396, Ottoman Sultan Bajazid beheads hundreds of crusaders after the Battle of Nicopolis. 1509, again, as we are having these conversations about climate, 1509, a storm surge causes the second Cosmas and Damien flood in East Friesland and the Netherlands, destroying dikes and devastating coastal towns. So big weather event back in 1509. 1580, Francis Drake completes circumnavigation of the world, sailing into Plymouth aboard the Golden Hind. 1665, the height of the Great Plague of London, as 7,165 people died throughout the previous week. This was the worst outbreak of the plague in England since the Black Death of 1348. London lost roughly 15% of its population. While a little over 68,000 deaths were recorded in the city, the true number was probably over 100,000. Other parts of this country also suffered, and rats carried the fleas that caused the plague. And they were attracted by city streets filled with rubbish and waste, especially in the poorest areas. In 1687, Acropolis in Athens was attacked by the Venetian army trying to eject the Turks, damaging the Parthenon. 1688, the city council of Amsterdam votes to support Prince William of Orange's invasion of England, which became known as the Glorious Revolution in the Netherlands. 1772, right off, even before we were a country, New Jersey passes a bill requiring a license to practice medicine. So that whole licensure thing started a long time ago. 1777, the British General William Howe occupies Philadelphia during the American Revolution. 1789, Thomas Jefferson was appointed first Secretary of State, and John Jay becomes the first U.S. Chief Justice. 1815, Russia, Prussia, and hold on here. Let's see, Russia, Prussia, and Austria signed the Holy Alliance. 1914, the Federal Trade, this is really important. 1914, the Federal Trade Commission formed to regulate interstate commerce. And Woodrow Wilson was the president at that time. And that was when all this progressive stuff was happening in those years. We had the Federal Reserve was created, the income tax amendment was passed, and also we changed how we elected senators from the states electing them to a popular vote. All this happened right around that time. So Woodrow Wilson was an American politician. He served as president from 1913 to 1921. He was a member of the Democrat Party. He served as the president of Princeton University and as the governor of New Jersey. And so all that was happening right around that. It didn't happen all of a sudden, though. We were working up to that. But all these progressive things happened initially under Woodrow Wilson. And then this is big. In 1918, it was beginning of the Meuse-Argonne Offensive in World War One, where more than 1 million American soldiers were involved in the largest and most costly offensive of World War One. And all those things happened on this day in history. So, Producer Joe, what do you think? A lot happened back in the past.
Yes, yes, it did, especially. Yes. The weather one was neat. Like, that's kind of wild that something that big happened that long ago.
Well, and that really plays into this whole narrative regarding climate. And there are weather events. There's always been weather events. But all the weather events these days are being attributed to climate change, and then climate change, the PBIs, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, are using that then to exert more and more control over everyday people under this guise of climate. And that's why it's important as we look at these different days in history, we see these weather events. The other thing that is important to realize is that in America, in our society, we have done many things that mitigate the human suffering of big weather events as well. And so, I mean, we do have loss of life. That does happen. But because of creativity, innovation, the things that we do with building, we are able to mitigate that human suffering. And that's what's we're headed to, if this whole climate thing, this agenda continues on, we are headed back to significant human suffering and misery. And it seems that we want to focus on human flourishing and prosperity while being good stewards of our world, and we can do both. And that is why this discussion regarding a climate conversation is so important. We are having this Colorado screening of the movie this Thursday evening at Rockley's Event Center, which is out on West Colfax, 8555 West Colfax. And a climate conversation, it is the vision, it's the brainchild of Walt Johnson. He is a geophysicist, and he wanted to create a documentary to have an honest conversation about this. Ticket sales are very brisk, and I would recommend that you get your tickets now because we are getting close to sold out. And you can go to my website, that's kimmunson.com, and the links are there for a climate conversation. Again, the screening is this Thursday evening. And that is Thursday the 28th. Doors open at 6, movies at 7. And then the scientists that are in the movie are all flying in. King Gregory from Canada, Gregory Wrightstone from the East Coast, and Ron Stein from the West Coast. James Taylor with the Heartland Institute will be part of the panel, as well as Walt Johnson and Colton Moyer, who is the director and producer, and then I am the moderator. So this is going to be a really important evening, and would love to have you join us. And you can go to my website to purchase your tickets. We get to do this show because of all of you and your support, but also our sponsors. And one of those sponsors that's been with me for a long time is Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations. That's Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have great specials Monday through Friday. I particularly love their fish and chips. And also Wednesdays are Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, get an additional 10 for free, and that's for to go and to dine in. But Hooters Restaurants has been a great sponsor of both The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And how I got to know them is a very important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism, and those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And so very grateful for Hooters Restaurant's sponsorship. And also, the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is another great sponsor of the show. And Roger knows that life can be challenging, and it's the Mangan's team's mission to maximize your financial security as you manage the risks of everyday life. Call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for more information. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
Colorado's rules and regulations continue to make it more expensive to heat and cool your home. Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services works to continue to offer you proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs' team of certified professionals has extensive experience installing, repairing, and maintaining air conditioning, heating, and water heater systems. Johnny Stubbs Services is committed to providing exceptional service and ensuring your comfort, safety, and satisfaction. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. There's a very important vote that is occurring at the GOP Central Committee meeting this Saturday, September 30th. And the vote is on whether or not to opt out of the open primaries. And it's complicated, but it's really, really important. It makes sense to me that we have Republicans vote in Republican primaries and Democrats vote in Democrat primaries. And to opt out, it's a high bar. And I also just am questioning the constitutionality of this. So I wanted to talk with Maurice Emmer, who is an expert attorney on this. Maurice, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Good morning. Nice and early, isn't it?
That it is. And then this does rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon as well on all KLZ 560 platforms. But there's a lawsuit that is that they're working on regarding the constitutionality of this opt out of the open primary. So explain to us your views on this.
Sure. So in Colorado, there really is only one primary system. We're talking here, first of all, about everything but presidential primaries. Presidential primaries have a different set of rules in Colorado. But for all the other offices, state general assembly, governor, secretary of state, all the more local offices, DAs, et cetera, anything that is partisan. There's only one type of primary permitted, and that's an open primary, meaning that two classes of people are allowed to vote in a party's primary. Now, for everybody who doesn't know what a primary is an election in which a party's candidates are selected for the general election ballot. Two types of voters are allowed to vote in a party's primary. First, the voters who are registered with that party. And second, voters who are not registered with any party, so-called unaffiliateds or independents. And what happens with those people is they get two ballots presented to them, either mailed to them or presented to them at their polling place, and they can vote one or the other. So there's actually a huge advantage in this system in not being affiliated with a party, because you get to choose which party's primary you vote in. And you only get to vote in one, but you get to vote in the one of your choice. And in fact, in recent years, because of this system, the overwhelming proportion of voters who vote in the GOP primary are not registered with the party. So primary or general election ballot candidates generally are being selected in this state to represent the GOP by people who are not members of the GOP. That's the open primary system. What would you like to know about the lawsuit?
Well, I did want to make just a comment. I've started to do, I think it was in 2015, voters' guides. And initially, I thought all this stuff was above my pay grade, Maurice. But I realized that I could read the ballot questions. I could and I looked at this from what I thought was best for the individual and also with the Constitution of the United States. And so it's an opinion, but it's a tool to try to help people as they're filling out these ballots. And I remember I recommended a no vote on this open primary. And one of the reasons I thought I didn't think it was really fair that it was only going to be unaffiliateds then that could vote in other primaries, because it left out libertarians and Green Party and all. And I didn't recommend that we have open primaries at all, but I thought that was really an interesting intricacy, if you will, regarding this open primary, mm-hmm. Maurice.
Okay. Well, let me explain the lawsuit or the constitutionality issue. So there's a principle under the U.S. Constitution. It springboards from the free speech rights, actually. It's called the free association right. It's not explicitly in the Constitution. But it was found in a penumbra, if you will, by the Supreme Court many, many decades ago. And that's the right of individuals to associate with other individuals of their choice, especially in political matters. And it's the right, in other words, that allows people to join together and be members of, let's say, the NAACP. And that could be their choice, and the government can't have any say about it. And it extends to political parties. So people have the right to be associated with a political party of their choice. It's the free association right. And in 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court, in an opinion written by the late Justice Scalia, looked at a primary system in California. It was an open primary system, similar to Colorado's, with a difference. The difference there was that parties were forced to engage in an open primary. They had no choice. They had to open their primaries to unaffiliated voters. And Justice Scalia found two important things. First thing he found was that an open primary does interfere with the right of free association because it permits people who are not part of your group, your political party, to participate in selecting your candidates. And then he second found that it was unconstitutional to force parties into the system. So he found California's system unconstitutional. So people who wanted to have open primary systems decided they would engineer around that decision by instituting a system like the one we have in Colorado, in which there allegedly is a choice to get out of the open primary. This is the so-called opt-out. So here's where we get to the opt-out. And the system installed in Colorado says, well, as I said, there's only one kind of primary, but you can opt out of the primary. So you don't have to, as a party, allow other people to participate in selecting your candidates. But the statute enacted creates lots of, as you said, I think, high bars to the opt-out, makes it very difficult to opt-out. So the question, the legal question is, are the barriers to opting out of the open primary in Colorado so high that they de facto constitute a requirement of an open primary if you're going to participate in a primary? That's the legal question. And the State Party Central Committee, GOP Central Committee, voted, I don't know, 3 years ago maybe, to sue the Secretary of State. She's the defendant you would properly sue here, to have this law overturned. But that lawsuit was the then chair of the state party dragged her heels and she wouldn't participate and she didn't do anything about it. So private individuals sued and their lawsuit got thrown out because the federal district judge found they didn't have standing and you needed to have the state party in as a plaintiff. So now the state party has sued. That's the long and the short of it. Sorry for the long explanation, but
it's important.
Complicated, as you said. It's as you said. So now the state party has sued in federal district court. And the posture of the case is the complaint's been filed. And the Secretary of State's answer is due, I think, October 2nd. And it'll take its, you know, it'll take its course. I don't think it'll be thrown out on standing grounds now, because the state party is the proper plaintiff. And we'll find out. But it'll take probably years to resolve the case, because whoever wins at the trial level, the other party is definitely going to appeal. And it could go, you know, could go up to the Supreme Court. They have discretionary jurisdiction. They don't have to take cases. So it would definitely go at least to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's the lawsuit.
Okay, so that's going to take time. And so this opt-out vote, and it is a really high bar. In fact, it's a very high bar. It's 75% of the members of the Central Committee, is my understanding, Maurice. Is that correct? They need to vote to opt out.
Yes, and it's all members. So in most most matters that come before a governing body like the Central Committee of the state party, or say a House of Congress or what have you, the percentage vote requirement is a percentage of the quorum, in other words, the people who show up for the meeting. But this statute says it requires 75% of all the members, and you never get 100% of the members. You never get even close to 100% of the members at a meeting. So that's just one example of several very high bars that make this virtually impossible to achieve. But people are going to try, and I hope they're successful. Another bar. There's another bar, and that's an important one, and that is this vote has to be taken every 2 years. It's only good for one primary. So the party can't take one vote and say, okay, now, until further notice, we don't want open primaries. They got to come back every 2 years by a statutory deadline. That's why this vote is being taken when it is. It's close to the statutory deadline. Every 2 years. So it's like, you know, resets. That's another problem with it.
Well, you said something, and I think that's very important, and that is the people that wrote this ballot question engineered this to try to get around the fact that it's unconstitutional, but they put the bar so high. And one has to ask why. I mean, this is in essence an excellent example, is like having the Kansas City Chiefs decide which Broncos are going to play during a particular game. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And what I've realized, Maurice, is that I've determined that it's really the Republican Sultan operatives that have really been collaborating with the radical activist Democrats regarding public policy here in Colorado. And when we look at what's happening in Colorado and the results of many of these elections, Colorado is in big trouble. And it is because these Republican operative consultants have been colluding and collaborating with the radical activist Democrats, from what I can see. And so they work together to get this open primary on the ballot. And you can go to Ballotpedia and you can see many of the names right there of people that were involved in this. And then we see the results of what's happened in Colorado. And I think this opt-out vote is really important. And for people that are concerned about it, it's only for 2 years. But so, again, this is, I think, why not give it a try and see what happens, Maurice? Your final thought on all this?
My final thought on it is it's similar to what you just said. You know, coincidence is not causation, but coincidence grabs the attention. And since the open primary was instituted, the Republican Party has done virtually nothing but lose elections in this state. And I think there's a connection. The last three primaries, the party made a very weak attempt to get the vote to opt out of the open primary and failed. This time there's a pretty good chance they can get it, because they're pulling out all the stops, and the leadership is actually in favor of the opt-out, which had not been the case in the past. And I say, why not try it? Because whatever you're doing now is failing. It's just a ticket for failure. The results are terrible. So try something else and don't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. Thank you, Kim, for having me this morning.
Oh, Maurice Emmer, thank you so much for explaining all this, the constitutionality, your views on that, and what the lawsuit looks like. And yes, why not give it a try this Saturday? I think that that makes a lot of sense. So, Maurice Emmer, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your expertise.
Have a good day. Bye.
And the show comes to you because of all these great sponsors. One of those is Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Bosun Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Bosun Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Very pleased to have on the line with me Wade Miller. He is the Chief Operating Officer of the Center for Renewing America. Wade, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back on.
Now, Wade, if I remember right, you are a Marine, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I've started to do this this day in history. And my understanding is that one of the very important battles of Marines history is the Battle of the Argonne Forest. And apparently that started this day in history in 1918. And so I just wanted to mention that. And then also I support the USMC Memorial Foundation as they're raising money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial here in Golden, Colorado. And people can help them by going to the USMCMemorialFoundation.org. But I just wanted to connect all those dots because once a Marine, always a Marine, honoring our Marines and all of our military at the USMC Memorial Foundation is important. But I am correct that this is one of the most famous battles of the Marines as well, isn't it?
It is. It's a famous World War I battle that every Marine learns about.
Yes. And so that began in this day in history in 1918. So let's talk about some other battles, though. You are now on Capitol Hill. The Center for Renewing America was founded by, is it Russell Vogt? Am I remembering that correctly? And
that
he was...
Correct.
Under the Trump administration, he was the head of the budgets, and so he understands what's happening on Capitol Hill. So this whole big discussion now about a government shutdown, it didn't have to be this way. What's happening with all this, Wade Miller?
Sure. So every year there's a funding deadline by which you have to pass new appropriations or extend that deadline. in order to avoid a government shutdown, if that's what you're seeking to do. And that deadline is September 30th. And part of the speaker deal that was made in January was that they would use, you know, regular order, which is what you call, instead of doing like a big year-end omnibus bill that has all the appropriations bill into one giant bill, or doing a continuing resolution, which is just saying, okay, whatever we were spending previously, we're just going to continue to spend that amount moving forward for a certain amount of time. Instead of doing all that, the demand was, let's do regular order. Each individual appropriation bill, and there's usually 12 of them, let's consider each one of them, let's amend each one of them, actually allow debate on those appropriations bills on the floor, allow debates on amendments, and then vote on that. And it's, and again, it's not so much about the process, it's what can we do if we have that process, which is we can go after woke and weaponized activities within the federal government, defund them or outlaw them, and really a reform government, even in a divided Congress, because, again, the House controls the purse strings. So they're the ones who are supposed to send spending bills over to the Senate, pass those bills first and then send them over to the Senate. So we have a lot of leverage. And, you know, there's a lot of these agencies. I think that a lot of people in America are just – they don't really care if they shut down. You know, there's some things that we want functioning, like the Veterans Administration hospitals and things like that. But you know, we can fund those things. So Social Security continues. Medicare patients continue to be seen. The post office continues to work. All of that happens during a shutdown still. So what we're really talking about is a relatively small amount of the government will shut down on September 30th. If we don't have all our appropriations bills done by then, and then, of course, if the Democrats don't vote for them. And the reason we're kind of in this position is because a lot of it is because Kevin McCarthy had the opportunity throughout the summer to get these bills ready to move, but he wanted to jam his own party up at the very end here, hoping that we'd get just a do-nothing, clean CR that continues to fund every aspect of the Biden administration's woke and weaponized regime. So that's where we are now, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that conservatives so far have outmaneuvered him. This week, in fact, starting today, they're going to start, as we asked and we're hoping for, we're going to start considering individual appropriations bills. And so this is our real opportunity to fund what we want to fund and defund what we don't, and then, of course, make illegal those activities which we think are weaponized against the American people. And then give those bills over to Democrats. And it will be up to them if they want to shut those agencies down on September 30th. Now, we won't be able to get every single one done. There's probably almost certainly going to be a partial government shutdown. But we can fund about 70%, 75% of the government with reforms by September 30th. And then what we're left with are the most politically volatile agencies. And again, I think that Republicans are in a good position. Those are the agencies that are the most politically problematic and also the agencies that have some of the least to do with our everyday lives. So I think that we can really withstand and shut those things down for a long time if we need to and insist on basic government, good government, limited government, pro-liberty reforms. And that's where we're at right now, and that's what's about to happen this week and next week.
I'm saying remarkable and not in a good way that Kevin McCarthy would get us right down to the wire on this and then hoping that the conservatives would capitulate is at least that's what I'm hearing, Wade. Is that a correct assessment?
That's 100% correct. And there's no better example of how unserious Kevin McCarthy was about agreeing to the deal in January, which, again, stipulated that instead of doing a CR or omnibus, we would do regular order, than the fact that he just had a month and a couple of week long recess in August where they didn't do any of this. And so they came back knowing a government shutdown deadline was September 30th. They came back around September 5th or 6th. Not ready to do any of this because, again, Kevin McCarthy was trying to maneuver the party around wanting to do a continuing resolution. And that almost happened. Now, conservatives were able to I think, maneuver around and say that we're not going to go that route. But it was kind of close. They almost cut a deal that would have, I think, massively narrowed our leverage and the vision of what we could achieve through appropriation. But you're right. Kevin McCarthy has not been serious. In fact, I think that he's, again, lost the trust of a lot of the Republican Party. In fact, he's not even really involved in a lot of these negotiations because I think just so many people have lost trust in him in this entire process.
That is really disappointing. What about the Colorado Republican delegation? Where are they coming down on this?
Lauren Boebert's been great. She understands the importance of wanting to fight on the amendment process of appropriations and to actually make sure the government can't target American citizens the way it's been doing, whether that's through the DOJ, FBI, Department of Education, on and on and on and on. IRS, there's just so many ways in which the government is abusing tax dollars for partisan ends. And she's very serious about attacking this. But otherwise, not a lot of vocal support for this process. I mean, even Ken Buck was downplaying or attacking the notion of impeaching Biden. And you know, just quick segue on that, there was never really any evidence of the silly reasons why Donald Trump was impeached. Now, you can like him or dislike him, like his policies, dislike his policies. But most of his impeachment processes were completely Mickey Mouse. But here we actually have a lot of smoke and fire when it comes to the Biden family corruptly working with foreign interest groups to enrich themselves off their own political power. You know, as Dan Bishop from North Carolina said, who's on the Judiciary Committee that's investigating this, there appear to be at least two federal laws that have been violated, and both of them very serious, issues that you know, for a normal American would come with a jail sentence. And so these are things that need to be looked at. But even, you know, Ken Buck has been one of the few Republicans attacking that, and he has not been super vocal on this current fight on spending. So outside of Lauren Boebert, it's not been great.
Okay, and Doug Lamborn, where's he been at on that?
I need to go check his Twitter feed. I can tell you he's not been standing up and yelling from the mountaintops that we need to, you know, use this process for what I've been outlining. He's not been a voice, a powerful voice that I've noticed. But again, I could be wrong. I can't give you a status update on every single member of Congress. But I can say this. Outside of Lauren Boebert, we need members to be more vocal. And if they have been more vocal, we need them to step it up even more.
Well, and that's why the timing of Lauren Boebert's PR nightmare that happened here just recently is super unfortunate. And I was talking with, I think it was Rachel last week, that conservatives that are in these fights don't really have the luxury of making PR mistakes because then those things get connected in with she's taking such a great stand for the American people over here. But it can you know, when you have a PR nightmare over here that she's going through, it makes it difficult for everyday people to understand totally what's going on. Your thoughts on that, Wade?
Oh, 100% agree. You know, if she were a Democrat and did what she did, it would have been a third or a fourth of you know, as in the news as it was. So we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard than, you know, progressives for, you know, a variety of reasons, because, you know, just morally it's the right thing to do, but also because we can't hand Democrats those type of opportunities to attack us and undermine us, especially a member like Boebert, who substantively in D.C., is really pushing a lot of important fights and is really standing strong and, you know, compared to other members, has a very strong spine. So when I see stuff like that, it's an unforced error. I think that she realizes she made a mistake and she's apologized, and that's enough for me to move on. But that type of behavior cannot become a trend, of course.
Absolutely. I'm talking with Wade Miller. He is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of the Center for Renewing America. But that's not to be confused with the nonprofit that I dearly love, and that is the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, Colorado, on the beautiful Riverwalk. And the Center for American Values is non-political. It's focused on several things. First of all, honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and their beautiful portraits of valor. I recommend that you take a trip down to Pueblo to see that. It's inspirational, but also to educate, to inform ourselves and our children about these important values of America, of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And so you can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And the show comes to you because of sponsors who I love working with them. They are, all of them, strive for excellence in what they do. And one of those great sponsors is Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up, so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Wanted to say thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. They've been great sponsors for many years and greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is the Chief Operating Officer of the Center for Renewing America, Wade Miller. Wade, you mentioned that that we could fund 70% of the government, but then start to have real discussions about the woke and weaponized alphabet agencies here. And so what are those agencies that would be up for discussion, Wade Miller?
Great question. I need to kind of pull out my rubric here. I know that they're considering five or six this week, state and foreign ops, DOD. I don't have the list in front of me, but there's a lot of on Twitter about which ones they're doing this week. And then, of course, you'll have the Department of Education, the DOJ, and several others just through criminal justice. And then labor HHS is another one that needs to be finished and done later. But we you know, I think the point is that when people think of, you know, what do they think of when they think of woke and weaponized government? You know, I think it's going to be those agencies that are on the tail end of this that will either be getting close to ready to go by the end of the month or will not be quite ready. And so we'll enter into a shutdown with those examples ready to go. And again, I think it's really important people remember that in a government shutdown, the president has broad authority to deem essential, you know, a lot of stuff. And so the military is still going to function. Social Security payments will still go out. Medicare patients will still be seen by doctors. Your mail is still going to show up in your mailbox. There's all sorts of government activities that are funded by user fees, so those will continue to go. It's mostly the bureaucracy that's going to be on essentially becomes a paid vacation because federal law requires at the end of a shutdown any furloughed federal workers, they get back pay for however long they were off. I'll tell you this, I've been in D.C. for a long time. A lot of federal workers look forward to these things because they essentially get 2, 3, 4 weeks off to do nothing and then they get paid for it. So it's really overblown, the effects on the American people. The only people that make it sound like doom and gloom are swamp creatures in Washington, D.C., because the entire Washington, D.C. metroplex is federal employees and federal bureaucrats. And so, of course, to them, the sky is falling. To the average American, they won't notice it. They won't really know that the government shut down. But that seems to be likely where we're heading. And I think that we need to use that opportunity to point out that we are not going to fund taxpayer dollars being used to target American citizens. And again, we're not going to fund woke idiocy like, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, which is a fancy name for systemic racism and systemic sexism, because that's exactly what they're used for. And we're not going to take a step backwards in our history and embrace those evils because it happens to advance the progressive agenda. This is the Republicans' opportunity to fight. They should put their foot down, draw a line, and defend that position and refuse to fund those activities. And that's what we're going to see unfold over the next couple weeks, I hope.
Well, and the American people, I think the veil is coming off on a bunch of this stuff, Wade Miller. And one of those is just the business as usual in Congress. I mean, what CEO would ever go on August break without having a plan for one of the biggest decisions that would be coming down the pike here in September? I mean, this looks to me so irresponsible, but that's how business has been in Washington, D.C. for so long, and that is why we are trillions of dollars in debt. And this is not going to, if we don't get a handle on this, this is not going to be good for the American people, Wade.
I 100% agree, and this is an important point to remember. It's meant to just look inept, like we were running into this September 30th deadline accidentally, and oh, well, we got to do something. We got to fund a bill to extend all current spending levels. It was manufactured. It was made to happen like this so that that outcome would be more likely. And both Republicans and Democrats contributed this, specifically Republican leadership. They wanted to come back from the August recess and make it appear like, oh, no, there's a deadline. We've got to do something right now, because that gets them to this government spending vehicle that they most want, which doesn't tackle any of the reforms that we're concerned about. It doesn't tackle the spending issue, doesn't tackle the government fraud, waste, and abuse issues, doesn't tackle any of the woke and weaponized nature of the federal government, doesn't secure our border. That's what they wanted to happen. And so conservatives who care about the future of this country and correcting the trajectory we're on, we have got to be very loud over the coming weeks and insist that we do not simply take an easy out on this to fund the government just to fund the government, that we actually have to take this opportunity to go with a fine-tooth comb and reform every single agency. And if the government shuts down for a while to do that, then that's fine. Let's let that happen, and let's force Democrats to have to accept these government funding bills that undo a lot of what they're trying to do to destroy America.
Boy, this is a big fight. We only have a minute left, but you said something about open borders. How can this help secure our borders? When I look at the fact that we're giving all this money to Ukraine to secure their borders, but yet ours is wide open. We've got just a minute. Explain that to us, Wade.
Sure. So through these funding vehicles, we can insert policy reforms like H.R. 2, which is a massive package of border security bills that would force the hand of the Biden administration to actually secure the border. And, of course, the Biden administration could ignore that, but it would be more clear at that point that the Biden administration is then violating the law. It would help push forward additional arguments for impeachment at that point. But, again, it's an important leverage point that should include a robust border security package, and that's what we're going to be pushing for.
Well, okay. So Wade Miller's chief operating officer for the Center for Renewing America. Just your final thought that you leave with our listeners regarding this fight. And I think one of those is it's going to be okay either way, right? Or not either way. It's going to be okay.
Exactly. Most people will not even notice that there's a shutdown. Even in a larger context, you won't notice it. Everyone needs to buckle in. You know, contact the members of Congress and express their support for them to fight finally. And I think that over the next few weeks, we're going to see what kind of Republican Party we have. Is it more of the same, or are we turning a corner here and actually advancing wins for the American people?
Oh, so important. So, Wade Miller, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And our quote for the end of the show is from Ronald Reagan. He said this. He said, either you will control your government or government will control you. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team I work with. That's producer Joe, producer Luke, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday, producer Joe.
Happy Tuesday, Kim.
A lot of information in that first hour, and the way it works here is we are on live 6 to 8 a.m. First hour is rebroadcast in 1 to 2 hours each day, and the second hour 10 to 11 at night. And we are working towards having our show summaries with the podcast posted within 24 hours. We're getting close to making that happen. Producer Joe is instrumental in that, and I thank him for working on that. And once that summary is posted on the website, the podcasts of the shows will be on the streaming services such as Spotify, iTunes, and all that. KLZ 560 has a great reach, broadcast reach. It goes north into Wyoming, south into New Mexico, east into Kansas and Nebraska, and west up to Vail and into the mountains. So again, that is a great broadcast reach. I want to thank Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. Greatly appreciate that. I'm realizing abundant, reliable, affordable, and efficient energy has just been a bedrock of human prosperity and flourishing here. And it certainly is under regulatory attack by the Biden administration and their demonomics policies out there regarding their economic policies. I call them demonomic now because this is not just Biden's policies. This is the policies of the radical activist Democrat Party. And ultimately, if this continues on, instead of humans flourishing, it will move us to misery and suffering. And what they're doing is totally against the vision of America that's in the Declaration and also our Constitution. And so that's why we need to understand the issues that are occurring out there. And that brings up intellectual curiosity. We need to understand what is happening out there. And Dr. James Lyons-Weiler has created the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge Educational Programs. And you can get more information about all that by going to ipac-edu.org. But would love to have you join us. I am taking a course, as well as I know Ramey Johnson, one of our listeners, Marie, Christy Whaley. We are all taking this course that's being taught by Brad Miller, who actually retired from the Army just short he resigned from the Army just short of retirement because he refused to take the jab and refused to make those under his command take the jab. And so he's teaching this course on literature as resistance. It's a 19-week course. It's I think it's going to be super interesting. I won't be able to make it this Thursday because we are premiering the Colorado premiere of A Climate Conversation, which is the documentary that was really the brainchild of Walt Johnson. The producer-director is Colton Moyer, but we're having that event this Thursday. But the great thing about if you miss a class is it's all recorded and you can get that. So check out ipac-edu for Dr. Jack's, all of his courses. I highly recommend them. And then also would love to have you join us this Thursday evening, September 28th, for A Climate Conversation. And that is the premiere of the documentary, the Colorado premiere of the documentary, panel discussion, food, drink, the whole thing. And we would love to have you join us. There are still some tickets available, but it's going to be a great evening. You can connect with people that you know and make some new friends. A text line is 720-605-0647. That's 720-605-0647. Our word of the day is plethora, and it could mean superabundance or excess. Or number two, an excess of blood in the circulatory system or one organ or area. So I'm going with definition number one. It says, in a society based on liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom, and the sanctity of the individual, there are a plethora of opportunities for individuals to succeed. And our quote of the day is Ronald Reagan. He was our president 1981 to 1989, and one of the most prominent conservative figures in the United States. He said, almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our Constitution is a document in which we the people tell the government what it is allowed to do. We the people are free. And that is why America has been this beacon of hope for all those that want to be free. And again, that is Ronald Reagan. Show comes to you. Again, these great sponsors that I work with, all of them strive for excellence in their fields. And I can highly recommend each and every one of them. And one of those great sponsors is Boson Law. And we have John Boson on the line. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. And you can never quote Ronald Reagan enough.
Yes. And, you know, he was a Democrat. He changed to becoming a Republican and a conservative. And the word conservative, John, I think it's so important that people understand that the word conservative means to conserve these ideas of America, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That just seems to me like something we can unify around and that we can agree upon. And so that's why I'm working in this battle of language to try to actually have people understand what that word conservative means. But let's go over to your business. You and your team strive for excellence as you serve your clients, but wanted to talk about work accidents a little bit. What do you want our listeners to know about that?
Well, Kim, like a motor vehicle accident, if you get involved in an accident at work, it's handled as a workers' compensation claim, and reporting it and letting your employer know if the employer wasn't aware or at the job site when the injured worker got hurt, reporting it to a supervisor and employer is critical. If there's a witness around, grabbing that witness and just literally filing a report, because one of the problems we see with a lot of claimants, people that are injured on the job, is an employer or the insurance carrier disputing that it actually happened on the job site. Now, sometimes that's indisputable. You know, somebody breaks a leg, somebody has something happen that just can't be refuted. But urgency again, and calling me at 303-999-9999 so I can explain the process, make sure people understand how the claim process works. Those are important things. And then seeking care as soon as possible. And when visiting or being examined or seeing a doctor for the first time after a work accident, being very specific and detailed about what happened and what was injured, what part of the body was injured is very important. So those are the critical things. And then that urgency of or advice to call me so I can really go through, this is how it works, these are some pitfalls, don't do this, do this, just to make sure they get on the right path and they get compensated for what happened to them.
Okay. And you've got a very memorable phone number. How can people reach you?
Again, 303-999-9999. And that is the important thing. Call right away and get the advice that will get you or a loved one or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker on the right path as quickly as possible.
And again, that's John Boson with Boson Law. That number is 303-999-9999. John, we will talk to you next week. And again, people need to realize that if they've been injured, to call immediately because, you need to understand all the things that are going on with that. So, John Boson, we'll talk to you next week.
Kim, thank you for fighting the fight.
Most definitely. And we get to do this because of these sponsors, and one of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger's been in business for 47 years, serving his customers, providing for his family, and giving back to the communities of Centennial, Littleton, Highlands Ranch, Inglewood, Greenwood Village, Castle Rock. For help with your insurance needs, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. One of the nonprofits that I truly support is the USMC Memorial Foundation. And on this day in history, in 1918, one of the biggest battles and one of the most famous Marine battles began in World War I, where more than 1 million American soldiers were in this largest and very costly offensive. And it was the Battle of the Argonne Forest. And so, again, it's important that we know our history, and that's why I so support the USMC Memorial Foundation in their quest that they're going to remodel and rebuild this Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax. And you can help them by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. In this environment where we see the tearing down of our memorials and a renaming of so many different things, it's important that we know our history, protect our history. And you can do that by contributing at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. On the line with me is Leslie Manoukian. And she is an amazing woman. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and they are doing amazing work to protect the rights of our health freedom. So, Leslie Manoukian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you so much for that sweet introduction. I am so grateful for what you do and for having me on the show. Every time I hear your intro, if some, you know, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if something's a good idea, you don't have to force it. I just feel inspired and excited to be with you and also motivated to do what I do, because that's essentially, you know, what Health Freedom Defense Fund is trying to achieve, get to the point where we've instilled in the public consciousness the idea that we and we alone own our bodies, that we get to choose what we put into them. And then we want to codify that in law, because there's a conflict in our law today, and it must be resolved. But anyway, I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, thank you, because I'm over on the website, healthfreedomdefense.org, and in your legal corner, you have these different challenges, and some of them have been completed, but some of them I want to hear the updates on those. And the first is regarding the Los Angeles Unified School District, their vaccine mandate. Where are you at on that lawsuit?
Well, this is very exciting. We've sued the Los Angeles Unified School District twice. We're working together with a group of about 1,000 employees from LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District, the second largest school district in the United States. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. And we've sued them twice, and the first time we sued them over their mandate of the emergency use authorized vaccination in the spring of 2021. And they rescinded their mandate the day after we sued them. Then what they did was they reinstated the mandate in August of 2021, after telling the court that they were not going to do that in order to get the first case dismissed. So they have been so dishonest, it's incredible. So what happened was that second case worked its way through the court. That is a challenge on behalf of California Educators, Health Freedom Defense Fund, and several named plaintiffs representing, we're representing 1,000 employees of LAUSD who did not want to get the shot for religious or medical reasons. And that case was actually dismissed by the court in, I think, September 2nd of 2022. So we appealed on January 2nd or so of this year. We appealed because the court in the court's ruling, it said that it was for a for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to provide guidance to reconcile the disparity between law from over 100 years ago with more recent law. Okay. And so the LAUSD case on September 14th was we heard oral argument in that case in Seattle in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because we appealed. We said, okay, you, Judge, you want the Ninth Circuit to give you guidance as to how to reconcile this lawsuit called Jacobson versus Massachusetts from 1905 with all the recent lawsuits that say that you have a right to bodily autonomy, a right to refuse unwanted medical treatment, a right to refuse medical treatment that might be life-extending or life-saving, all those things. You have a zone of privacy around you. You want the Ninth Circuit to reconcile? Fine. We'll take it to the Ninth Circuit. So we did that. And you know what, Kim? The judges eviscerated, literally skewered the attorney for the Los Angeles Unified School District. I mean, I have never seen anything quite like it. They described LAUSD. They said they were shocked. They said they were floored by the fact that the Los Angeles Unified School District still has a vaccine mandate in place for employees and staff, for teachers and staff. They said that the policy was irrational. LAUSD tried to argue that it doesn't matter whether or not the shot works. All that matters is that the court should give the state, which LAUSD is an extension of the state, the right to decide. Literally. I mean, is that not outrageous? Now, I contend, and HFDF contends, that no one has the right to tell you what to put in your body, full stop. That said, surely if someone is going to recommend, let alone mandate, a medical intervention, the onus is on the other side to prove that it's safe and effective. Isn't that outrageous?
Well, it is. Now, I'm not real familiar with courts, but my understanding is that the Ninth Circuit in Seattle would lean more to the kind of the activist, Democrat activist side. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, this is very interesting, and it's one of the reasons why I'm actually quite excited that we're in the Ninth Circuit. So, you know, you have no control over what judge you draw at the district court level or an appeals court. At the appeals level, you draw three judges, a panel of three judges. Just so happens that we drew two Trump judges and one Clinton judge, meaning that they were appointed by those presidents. Okay. So some may argue that that's a favorable, draw for us. Maybe so. That said, the Ninth Circuit has been it's the largest circuit in the United States. It's Hawaii, California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, and I think Montana as well. So that's a huge, you know, geographically huge, the largest circuit in the United States. And I believe it's the largest by population as well, but I could be wrong, just because California's in there at close to 40 million and then, you know, all these other states. But the thing is, the Ninth Circuit has been the circuit that has literally pushed the envelope in guaranteeing the right to privacy and bodily autonomy, most importantly, in order to protect unfettered access to abortion, right? They have been the ones pushing the envelope on this. So how is it? It's actually the best place to be because they are either incredible hypocrites or they uphold unequivocally the right to bodily autonomy. How can you say that a woman should be able to abort a baby up until birth, but that a person cannot, choose what medicines are put into their body? And the thing that's so important about our case against the Los Angeles Unified School District is that we are arguing that not only does that lawsuit from 1905 not apply, because it doesn't, and I'd love to unpack that. It's called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. But you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't disregard natural immunity. You can't disregard the fact that we've known since July 27th of 2021 that the COVID shots don't stop transmission or infection and therefore are nothing more than a therapeutic. You can't hold that the state should be able to force medical interventions on you when there's so much more recent jurisprudence, case law, that says that you can't do that, that the state cannot do that. And so the Ninth Circuit, because they've led the way on protecting all these rights to privacy and bodily autonomy, is the perfect place to adjudicate this. And I think that they're in a bit of a pickle because they can't, you know, protect the woman's right to what they believe is the woman's right to abortion without supporting the human right to decide what we put into our bodies, right? And so it's actually, you're right, that's exactly what the situation is. And this lawsuit called Jacobson is so important because Jacobson was decided in 1905 when you and I couldn't vote, Kim. Huh. Think about that, right? It was also decided in 1905 when Jim Crow laws were in place. Who wants to go back to a place like that when black people didn't have the same rights as white people?
Wow.
And the Supreme Court ruled around that same time in Buck v. Bell that the state had the right to sterilize a young woman that the state deemed too unintelligent to have children. I mean,
wow.
I don't want to live according to laws or Supreme Court rulings from that era. Do you?
No, and the Supreme Court does not always get it right. That's why we have to, Leslie, we have to go to this bedrock foundational principles of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and then also the Constitution, the original Constitution, what it actually means. So those two things are so important. I'm just sitting here thinking about the fact that the Ninth Circuit, yeah, this is a real conundrum for them. And so the whole abortion question, though, is that if it was just a woman's body, that's one thing. But there's two bodies. There's two heartbeats. And so
can I just say, Kim, let's not even talk about abortion. HFDF doesn't take a position because we don't consider it a health freedom issue. My point is that they have tried to guarantee unfettered access to abortion, and now they're in a pinch. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
They've got, you know, that it's a bit of, I didn't want to weigh in on that, frankly. But I think that what I'd love to do, I know you have to take a break in a second, but is unpack Jacobson, because Jacobson doesn't even apply here. And yet that is what so many universities, school districts, employers, and governments around the country have been relying on. Now, let me just say, Jacobson applies in an extreme emergency, smallpox. That's what it applied for. That's what the Jacobson decision held, that in an extreme emergency where there's a death rate of 30 to 40%, then the state has a right to mandate something, a shot. That is believed, and this is the other catch, that is believed to be or known to be safe and effective. The smallpox vaccine at that point had been around for 100 years. Okay? It was believed, I don't believe it was, but this is what they thought, that it was safe and effective. So that's very, very different than a new experimental shot. It's very, very different than COVID that has a 0.1% fatality rate in line with the seasonal flu, neither of which justify using a Jacobson. And we have therapeutics, and natural immunity is superior. And that was completely disregarded. And most important of all, if it's not just a therapeutic, there is no public health justification whatsoever. So Jacobson does not apply, irrespective of the conflict that it has with the more recent jurisprudence, and I'd love to talk more about that. It doesn't apply because COVID is not smallpox, and the COVID shots were not the smallpox vaccinations. So Jacobson, people are completely misconstruing wildly what Jacobson said in order to justify these shot mandates. And that has got to be reversed. And that is really the crux of the our case against the LAUSD, combined with literally insisting that the courts reconcile the disparity between the case law Jacobson from 1905 and the more recent jurisprudence.
Okay. Well, Leslie, and yes, we will go to break here in just a second. And thank you for clarifying, where your focus is regarding the work of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And I can see that the Ninth Circuit, because of the abortion issue, is in a real conundrum on this, which is going to make this super interesting. And so thank you for that clarification on that. I'm talking with Leslie. Go ahead, Leslie.
Kim, there's going to be very, very exciting news later today, but I won't go into it. I'll talk to you about it after the break. But there's going to be something happening today that is related to this that I think is going to be a huge victory for us.
Okay. And you can talk about that on the radio when we come back?
Yeah, absolutely. Just I don't want to try and squeeze it in before your break.
Okay, that sounds great. We're talking with Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of healthfreedomdefense.org. And we're talking about this lawsuit regarding the Los Angeles Unified School District. And going to have some a cliffhanger here as we're going into break. But we get to have these important discussions because of sponsors like Johnny Stubbs Heating and Air Conditioning Services.
Johnny Stubbs Services uses only the best quality products to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts is available to provide the proper guidance and help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Johnny Stubbs Services prides themselves on delivering prompt and reliable service and stands behind their work with a satisfaction guarantee. JohnnyStubbsServices.com, the trusted contractor for all your heating and air conditioning needs. That's JohnnyStubbsServices.com.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Our future depends on educated, informed, and active citizens. You could do your part by reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. That's popularrationalism.substack.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Did want to mention the Center for American Values. They are located down on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado. Pueblo is known as the home of heroes because there are four Medal of Honor recipients that grew up in Pueblo, Colorado. And so one of the things that the center does is they honor our Medal of Honor recipients, but then also these values of America, of honor, integrity, and patriotism. They are working to instill that in us and teach that to our children because these are so important. They're non-political. But these are the things they're focused on. So for more information, go to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. On the line with me is Leslie Manoukian. She's the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. You can find them at HealthFreedomDefense.org. And she has had a cliffhanger for us before we went to break about something that might be happening today. So, Leslie, what is it?
So this is all in connection to the case against LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District. So I was explaining how the judges were just shocked and floored by LAUSD's continuing vaccine mandate, how one of the judges actually said that your policy is irrational, literally. They accept that someone who was vaccinated 2 years ago has complied with their mandate, despite the fact that science shows that they have no immunity, no protection from those shots over 2 years ago. So, and yet they're requiring new employees to be vaccinated, and they will not take back any of the 1,000 or so employees that they either terminated or forced into retirement or displaced, just put on unpaid leave and stripped them of their benefits. It's outrageous, right? So after the attorney for LAUSD got skewered by the judges, she walked out of the area where the attorneys addressed the bench. And the gate closed behind her and our attorney, John. And she turned to John and she said, "What are you going to do when they rescind the mandate?" The reason this is important is because what what a lot of these malefactors try and do is just stop doing what they were doing that was illegal in order to argue to the court that the case is now moot. Okay? So LAUSD, we are hearing, they've posted this on their board meeting, is going to consider rescinding the mandate today at their regularly scheduled board meeting this afternoon, which is a huge victory for us because they have been pushing for over, literally, this has been 2 years it's been in place now. They have maintained this. I mean, they are anti-science zealots. This is what these people are. They do not care what's been going on. But they, because of our court case, and because it is pretty clear that the judges were likely to rule in our favor, are now going to rescind the mandate in order to try and make this go away. So, I mean, we should be doing a victory lap because it means that they're going to stop enforcing this policy. The next step is unclear as to what will happen, but this is really, really exciting because they have held out for 2 years despite all the science against them, and they're basically being forced to back down. So I am absolutely thrilled about what is going on here, and I hope that the Board of Education is going to vote to rescind. It seems like that's what's going on, but this is a huge victory for Health Freedom Defense Fund and for California Educators for Medical Freedom, the group that we have been partnered with, and all the individual named plaintiffs and the thousand or so employees who have been harmed by LAUSD's nonsensical policy. So I am super, super excited about this.
Well, congratulations on that. I guess I'm being somewhat cynical. I since they tried to do an end run around this once, do you think they're going to try to do an end run around this again, Leslie?
You know, listen, this is a huge victory, no matter what, because they've actually finally backed down after 2 years, and they're basically being forced into this position. If it weren't for our lawsuit, they would not be doing this. That said, it's not, the game is not over. There's no doubt about that, okay? They are likely now going to argue to the court that the case is moot. But let me tell you, they are digging themselves a hole because they are posting things on their website about how successful the vaccine mandate was, how it reduced transmission, even though the science says that it didn't, how they helped, and how if there's another if conditions merit that they will, or warrant that they will bring it back. So the fact that they are already saying that they will bring it back potentially if conditions warrant tells you that this policy is something that the courts deem capable of repetition. And the only reason that they have rescinded it is because they're trying to evade review. That is not allowed. The other thing is they already lied to the courts once. And they have, you know, essentially no way to stand on what they're doing. And meaning that they have no justification for their policy, because there is no justification when the shot doesn't work, not only is dangerous. And so I think that it's likely that they will try and argue to the court that this is moot, but that doesn't mean that they're going to succeed. And if we can, and I think that this panel of judges is not going to be very receptive to that, because they were even making comments about mootness in the other cases that were heard on September 14th in Seattle. And so I think that we're actually in a very, very good position. They may argue that, but I don't think that they will succeed. And what that means is that then the case will be remanded back to the district court for us to actually prove our case in court. And that is what we really want, so that we can prove in a court of law that the shots do not stop transmission, that they do not stop infection, that they are not safe, right? They are now associated with over a million adverse reactions reported to the vaccine adverse events reporting system. They are associated, there have been, I think, about 35,000 deaths reported to the vaccine adverse events reporting system. And they are nothing more than a therapeutic at best. In fact, we used to think that the shots stopped hospitalization, but even that's not true. And we now know as well from FOIA's documents that were revealed under the Freedom of Information Act request that the HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, and the agencies under it, FDA and CDC, knew early in 2021 that the shots did not stop transmission or infection or reduce hospitalization. We knew that already. They knew it, and they covered it up. So we get to prove that this is nothing more than a therapeutic. We get to prove that natural immunity is real and superior. And we get to essentially insist that the courts reconcile the disparity between Jacobson and all these cases, which I'd love to talk about if we have a few minutes. If we don't, no worries, that have been decided since then. And so this is a huge opportunity. This is a huge first win. And, this is the second time we've forced them to take down their policy. And, I mean, I don't know how you can see that anything other than a huge win. And then, you know, we'll face the next bridge. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, yes, let's definitely do that. This came in on the text line. What about all those that were forced out of employment or forced to retire? What about all of those employees?
Thank you so much for that question, because even if they rescind the policy, what does that mean? What does that imply? You can't argue moot, because over 1,000 people have been impacted by this nonsensical policy, which they've now rescinded. You can't just voluntarily stop doing something illegal and try and make it go away. So, no, the court will still have to address this, which is another really, really strong argument against mootness. And they have issued it's in their agenda items for the board meeting today. They have said something about that they will consider applications from people who were either fired or displaced. No, you don't get to consider applications from them. You reinstate them because you illegally violated their constitutionally protected rights. So this is just another case against them, and I think that it will go in our direction. But, you know, listen, we never know with the courts. We never know. But I think that those judges are angered and frustrated enough that LAUSD seems to think that they don't have to do anything, that they can just mandate whatever they want, that they are literally a law unto themselves, that they're not going to go along with whatever LAUSD is trying to do. And they've watched LAUSD lie. So I think that there's a very good possibility for us here to win, even if they argue mootness, and to go back to the district court and prove the case, which will be very, very exciting.
Well, and I think it's important that people understand that LAUSD, they actually have government dollars to pay all their attorneys as they're going through these lawsuits. But Health Freedom Defense Fund, actually, you're funded by contributions by everyday people that care about these issues. And so how can people support you in these important court cases?
Yeah, Kim, it's so true. I mean, we're going up against the government, literally the government, essentially, of the largest state in the United States. LAUSD is an arm of the California government, and California is the richest state. You know, I think that California is, the last time I looked, it was like the seventh largest economy in the world. If you just look at it on its own, it's a huge, huge money machine. And we are going up against people who literally do not care about your rights. They do not care about your freedom of expression of religion, freedom of expression of your thoughts. They do not care about your right to assemble. They do not care about these protected First Amendment rights. And the only way we can do this work is with people supporting us. And so if you go to healthfreedomdefense.org, you can do that. And any donation is appreciated, $5. You can join our newsletter and share what we're doing. We don't send newsletters out all the time. It's only a few times a month. You can become a member for only $10, and you can donate. You can donate to specific cases, or you can donate to Health Freedom Defense Fund in general. If you go to our healthfreedomdefense.org and then navigate to Legal Corner, you can go to the cases, the main cases at the top, and you can donate. It says donate to this lawsuit. You can donate to those specific lawsuits. And you can do that, or you can just donate to HFDF in general, to Health Freedom Defense Fund in general. And listen, we do this. I work for free. I donate all my time. I've donated more than 10,000 hours of my time in the last 3.5 years, because I want to save America, because I care about my 21-year-old son and all the other young people out there, and I want them to have a better world than the world that is being foisted upon us by these people who do not care about our rights and freedoms. And the only way that we can do that is if we push back, and we can't push back if we don't have the support of the public. And yes, it's, you know, 5 and 10, and for those who can, 500 or 5,000 or 50,000, you know, whatever people can give that helps to support us really is so unbelievably appreciated and allows us to keep doing this work.
And again, you can go to healthfreedomdefense.org to contribute. And yes, we are in this big battle for our country. And Leslie Manoukian, I have some more questions for you. And so let's let's hear from some of our sponsors, such as Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Monson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range keep their firearm and ammunition inventory up, so you can get the lowest price at the best tax rate. Across the nation, inventory is down and sales are at record levels, leading consumers to pay higher prices at other businesses. Franktown brings in new items every week, which translates to lower pricing on your purchase. There are millions of first-time gun owners purchasing each year, showing that the demand is growing and prices are rising to meet that demand. Whether you're looking for a self-defense carry, hunting game, or using your firearms and ammunition for pest control, the folks at Franktown are fully stocked and ready to get you the right firearm at the right price. And this family-owned, family-operated gun store and range is proud to have the lowest tax rate possible, saving you even more. Find out more about Franktown Firearms at klzradio.com/Franktown today and fill out the form to get half off your initiation fee on membership. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we are coming down to the wire for the Colorado premiere of A Climate Conversation, which I had the great honor to moderate this particular documentary. And the event is this Thursday night. That is September 28th at Rockley's Event Center. We still have some tickets available. They're very affordable, $20 for an individual, $30 for a couple. And we will screen, have the Colorado screening of the movie. There, all of the scientists in the film are flying in from all over North America for a panel discussion, and there will be food and drink, and we'd love to have you join us. And again, there's some tickets available, but we're getting close to sold out. So if you have not purchased your ticket, go to kimmunson.com, and all the links are there. And Jansen Photography, Glenn Jansen will be out there with his camera. And Jansen Photography is owned by Glenn and Mary Jansen. It's a beautiful property in Lakewood, Colorado, and they specialize in portraits of families and children, senior portraits, and you really do need to have that professional portrait for your business or political career, and Janssen Photography can help you with that, and that is JanssenPhotography.com, J-A-N-S-S-E-N Photography.com. And Leslie Manoukian, I've never done any film work before. I know that you created a documentary many years ago, but this is my first time to get to do something like this.
Yes, I made a documentary on vaccines called The Greater Good, which people can see at greatergoodmovie.org. And it's very interesting. That film is actually more relevant today than it was when it was released in 2011. People now fully understand what we were talking about, this unholy alliance and relationship between public health and the vaccine makers, that there's a revolving door between industry and the regulatory agencies, that the vaccine makers are not accountable in any way. They have no liability, essentially, for their vaccines. If you or your child are injured or killed by a shot, and federal law recognizes that vaccines injure and kill some, they have to go to, you have to apply to this like special vaccine court is what it's called, in the Federal Court of Appeals. And you have to go to this special court that is literally led by special masters. That's what they call them, special masters who decide the cases. You're going up against government-funded attorneys defending a government program, and about a third of the people actually get any kind of resolution. So your child is injured or killed by a shot, and you have to go up against them in this special, you know, against these special masters. There's no discovery. There's no due process. There's nothing like there should be in a court. It's
wow.
So rigged against the people. It's horrific. And even though vaccines are acknowledged by the Supreme Court to be unavoidably unsafe, literally. So if you watch the movie, how they're not properly studied, how many are given, how the schedule has exploded since 1986 when the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed, and how these companies have no liability for it. This is why there's always a push to get shots onto the children's vaccine schedule. So under an emergency, under the PREP Act, when the COVID shot was produced, the producers of that shot had liability. So they were protected from any kind of financial or legal liability. But that would go away once the emergency was rescinded, except not if the shots were added to the childhood's recommended schedule by CDC, which is why they pushed so hard to do that, because then they are protected in perpetuity. So all other countries essentially have stopped giving the COVID shots to those under 65, almost all. That's basically the general recommendation around the world. And yet 2 weeks ago, the FDA approved the shots for kids 12 and up in this country, and authorize them, emergency use, authorize them for 6-month-olds to 12-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, question coming in on the text line. Why do you keep calling the jab a therapeutic, Leslie?
Because it doesn't provide any kind of immunity. We know this, right? So it's like a therapeutic. The point is, it's no different than taking cough syrup to suppress a cough. If you choose to, you want to do that, that's up to you. But the point is, it doesn't actually stop transmission. It doesn't stop infection. And therefore, which is what a vaccine is supposed to do. And this is why vaccines, those in positions of power argue that vaccines have a public health impact or a public health justification, because they stop transmission and infection. That's not actually true in most cases of vaccinations. But let's set that aside. It's clearly not true for COVID-19. So how in the world can someone, any organization, any entity, mandate them when it's nothing more than taking an aspirin or a cough, you know, a cough suppressor? It doesn't do anything.
Okay, whether
or not you take, does that make sense, Kim?
Yeah, it does. That makes sense to me. So hold that thought. And I, Action Ann is on the line. Action Ann, what is quickly on your radar?
Well, Wade Miller brought up the fact of how we are allowing non-Republicans to have more votes in our primaries than ourselves, than the Republicans. I'm going to ask people to contact their county GOP chair, their vice chair, and their secretary to make sure that they are aware that if they vote against closing the primary, they're voting for people who don't attend our meetings and do this work as district captains and as precinct committee persons.
Okay.
And that is a conflict of interest that they have if they're going to vote against opting out. Okay. So if whether that's especially Adams County, Weld County, or Jefferson County, because that's, I think, your major listeners, please contact your county GOP chair, vice chair, and secretary.
Thank you, Action Ann. And that was in reference to our number one, Maurice Emmer, in that particular interview. And this is regarding this big vote that's coming up this Saturday. So, okay, Leslie, we've got just a short amount of time, but just give us an update on what you can quickly on these other lawsuits out there.
Sure. The most important right now is probably, well, we have two other big, big cases, one against Disney, one against Nike. Disney, I think that we're going to win that. I think that they actually want to settle. So this is very important because we are suing on behalf of a young woman, an employee, a receptionist at Disney who was bullied and harassed and intimidated, hostile work environment, all because she just so happened to actually be to apply for a religious exemption to the COVID shot. And then they started going crazy on her. And then we're also helping some former employees of Nike to sue Nike. And this is a huge, huge case. Both of these cases are going for damages. We actually prevailed on the motions for dismissal against Nike, which means we now get to proceed to discovery and depositions and to trial. And this is very exciting because we get to find out what Nike's been saying behind closed doors, what they've been doing, and how they tried to justify this. And then they literally fired people who claimed medical and religious exemptions. They fired them wrongly, and we're going to make them pay. And if Nike is forced to pay a large amount, because these were all senior employees at Nike, if Nike is forced to pay a large amount to these people, Nike, this is going to send a warning shot across the bow of every single company in the United States. And I think it's going to make them think twice about doing what the federal government tells them just because they're a little bit afraid. So these are super, super important cases. And again, we can't do them without people's support and help. So we thank everybody for anybody who wants to support us.
And you can do that by going to healthfreedomdefense.org. That's, let me make sure I've got that right, healthfreedomdefense.org. Leslie Manoukian, thank you so much. And we are going to make sure that you are on regularly to keep us informed on what is happening, because this affects each and every one of us. So thank you for the work that you're doing at the Health Freedom Defense Fund.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. You have a great day.
You as well. And our quote for the end of the show is Ronald Reagan. He said, either you will control your government or government will control you. So my friends today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.
Speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.